Good morning, everybody. Is it cold out? I was walking the dogs around the park this morning. I met this Polish guy. I said, you know, it's -3 at the moment. He said, he's nothing. -10, -20. Where he comes from is different. I don't know. My trip to Kenya, let me talk about that first, and I'll be talking about Through Faith missions. I went out there in 2005, so it's just 4 years ago, on a mission with about a team of 12. And we go out to Maasai land in Kenya, and this is out in mud hut country. There's no roads, you get sort of mud track. Roads out there. If you imagine the worst farm track you've ever seen, dig lots of potholes in it, that's their A40. All right, it's cross country. And you get these little clusters of huts. They're rectangular mud huts. No running water, no electricity. That makes life interesting. What would you do at home if you had no electricity, no gas, no running water? You didn't buy newspapers because you couldn't read. That's what they're like. They're uneducated, physically poor, bright, lovely, intelligent people. And it's a privilege to be among them. And we were there for 2.5 weeks. And in Bible fashion, we went out two by two by two, and you go to this cluster of huts over there, and you ask to see the elder, or they'd often come out and greet you with an interpreter. We'd say, we'd like to come and talk to you about God. Is that all right? And you say, yes. And you'd bring the rest out, and they'd come and sit round at your feet while we tell the story. And, when you've got 15,000 people praying for a mission, which is what happens back here, things happen. God moves. It's so powerful. You've seen it, haven't you? And hundreds of people came to Christ in 2.5 weeks. Hundreds. They had to plant 3 new churches to cope with the numbers. It was amazing. And it was like being in Bible times, where we went from house to house preaching the gospel. We didn't preach in the synagogue, but we preached in the marketplace. So it was, wow, quite an experience. I'm looking forward to going back again. We set off on Thursday, come back on Tuesday 27th. So I'd appreciate some prayer cover from you people while we're out there. We've got some people here from Kenya sometimes, haven't we? Anyone from Kenya today? No, not today. And Barack Obama, his father's from Kenya, isn't he? Lives in Kenya, so they're all celebrating out there. Praise God. Right, can I have the first slide up, please? They are mission possible. A simple plan for reaching others. There actually is, but let's look at the Bible first. What's the one thing that most Christians have in common? The one thing we're most scared of doing? It's sharing our faith, isn't it? Telling somebody else what it means to be a Christian, telling someone how to become a Christian, and guiding them through about 4 simple truths to a prayer whereby they can commit themselves to God and ask Jesus into their lives. Gosh, how do we do that? You know, someone said to you this afternoon, what's this about you being a Christian? What's it all about? Would you know how to answer? I know some of you would, but about, I guess 12 years ago, someone asked me that question. I was absolutely stumped. I didn't know where to start. You know, it just caught me off guard. Gosh, and I said, I'll tell you later, and I never did. Didn't get around to it. So, do we really need to share our faith? Did God really say? Well, let's remind ourselves of a few passages from the Bible. There are lots of them, but this is just a sample. Throughout the Old Testament, as you know, God spoke directly to a few individuals, or he spoke to the people through the prophets. He needed those people to be his mouthpiece. And in the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, we read about Isaiah himself being called by God. And he writes, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. What a willing response. I think for many Christians today, the reply would be, there he is, send him. And so we pay somebody else to do it, and preferably as far away as possible. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. We do need mission overseas. Many churches support overseas mission like we do, and missionaries, and that's great. But we don't do it ourselves very much, do we? Here at the Brum, we have open door lunches, and that's great. You're reaching out to people. Most churches don't do that. Gloucester City Mission is working with the disadvantaged and the homeless. But what about the average householder at home in this area? They need saving too, don't they? In Acts 1 verse 8, Jesus said, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Did you notice the sequence there? First in Jerusalem, secondly, Judea and Samaria, his own country. So it starts with his own surroundings, then his own country, his neighbours, and thirdly, to the ends of the earth. So it sort of implies we should be starting at home first, then across the land, then overseas. Oh dear, that means us, doesn't it? Let's look a bit more into the New Testament. As you know, God sent his own son Jesus, the most important of the prophets, to speak to his people. But we see the development of a new strategy where Jesus came and trained a team of followers to do the same as he did. He set the pattern, the followers copied him. He preached the good news, they preached the good news. He healed the sick, they healed the sick. He drove out demons, they drove out demons. And these followers showed people what they needed to do to become a Christian. They brought people into the kingdom and taught them to do likewise. You see, it's a pattern that can be duplicated. Jesus sent his followers out to the lost, the lost, the lost. Seeking the lost was so important that Jesus told three different parables on the subject, one after the other. Can anyone tell me what they were? Might have a guess. Lost coin. Lost sheep. Prodigal son, the lost son, yes. One after the other. They're all together in Luke chapter 15. Finding something precious that was lost. The searching for the lost sheep and bringing it back into the fold. Searching for a lost coin of value and finding it. Longing for a lost son to come back to his father. And his return, maybe a parody of Adam and all his descendants being lost when Adam decided to go his own way, do his own thing, and God wanting mankind to come back into the kingdom, the lost being found. Now, Luke 15 is the only recorded occasion when Jesus told three stories on the same theme, one after the other. So it must be important. And this searching for the lost, finding the lost, bringing them back to God, this chapter tells us rejoicing in heaven every time a sinner repents. When someone decides to join the club, become a member, to become a Christian, there's a party in heaven. They're rejoicing. At the end of Matthew's gospel, So are we supposed to join this search party? Are we supposed to be out there looking for these people to find the lost, bring them to God, set the angels rejoicing? Start a party in heaven? I think we're supposed to. Oh, you're all looking at it so uncertain down there. Oh, I don't know about this. But at the end of Matthew's gospel, Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." He's stating his absolute authority to command the next bit. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And that's the end of Matthew's gospel, his final instructions, if you like. So it's probably rather important. Here's my last orders. Go and make disciples, bring them into the kingdom, baptize them. And if there isn't an ordained pastor around, you can baptize somebody. It says so in the Bible. Is that right? And teach them to obey everything I've taught you. Not just some of the things, but everything. So Jesus was setting the pattern that can be duplicated by others who in turn continue to spread the same pattern. It's all laid out in the Maker's Handbook, the Holy Bible. Okay, so if we're followers of Jesus, he wants us to do what he taught the disciples to do. Is that right? Yeah? Now, as this talk is about mission, let's just look at how Jesus instructed his followers, not just the 12, but the broader group of followers, to do mission. Now, in Mark 6, verse 7, we read that Jesus sent out the 12 disciples 2 by 2. They went in pairs. And it's expanded in Matthew 10, where he tells them to preach the message that the kingdom of God is near. And it is, isn't it? God's kingdom is all around us. All around us. Then in Luke 10, we read that Jesus sent out 72 followers in twos to prepare the way for his coming, to go and tell people about him. Isn't that exciting? Don't your feet just itch to get out there? Well, maybe. And what sort of people do we see in this country going out in twos, door to door, preaching a message? Anyone tell me? Jehovah's Witnesses? Mormons? You see, the JWs are going out, they're doing what it says in the Bible, but they've got the story wrong, and they're leading people astray. The Mormons are going out, they're doing what it says in the Bible, but they've got the story wrong, they're leading people astray. Where are the Christians? Oh, you can't do that, the JWs do that. Excuse me, we should be doing it. Don't let them hijack the message. Shouldn't we be out there too? We've got the story right. We've got a wonderful message to proclaim. And we should be doing it. But something holds us back. It's that fear of the unknown, isn't it? Oh, I can't do that. But don't you wish there was an easy way to do it? Something that's non-threatening, that we don't need to feel afraid of doing. Would you be pleased to know there is? I'll come to that in a minute. Let's just check back in the Bible. After Jesus left. In the Bible, what happened after Jesus finished his physical visit to earth and ascended into heaven? Well, the duplication continued, or we wouldn't be here today. We read about the apostles, and that word means missionaries, those who are sent, who went from house to house. Acts 5:42 tells us, day after day, in the temple courts and from house to house, the apostles never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. Oh, never stop. In Acts 20, Paul tells us, I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but I've taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. So it rather sounds like God really would like us to be able to do it too, if we're going to follow the pattern. But it's possible for ordinary folk like you and me. Surely it's only for super evangelists like Billy Graham or Jay John or Colin Pavitt. Actually, no, it is for ordinary folk, just like you and me. You think about who introduced you to the faith. Some of you may have always come to church and just picked it up along the way. But somewhere along the line, someone spoke to you about Jesus and got you interested. Or you may have just drifted into it through hearing it. People may have planted seeds along the way, and it all suddenly goes click. Or there may have been a crisis in your life, and you turned to God, you sort of knew about it, but then something happened. It might have been a good crisis, it might have been a bad crisis, but that makes us turn to God. So let me tell you a little bit about how I got involved in mission and what happened. I became a Christian nearly 22 years ago, and God has changed my life completely. He made such a difference in my life, I wanted to tell other people about him too. I tried to find out, this was years ago, how I could learn to do evangelism. Short courses, distance learning, that sort of thing. But all there seemed to be was, well, you could join the church army for 3 years, or you could go to Redcliffe for 3 years, but it didn't fit very well because I was married, had 2 children, a mortgage, this kind of thing. And you can't sort of stop that for 3 years while you go and do something else very easily. So I found one distance learning course. I sent them £70 and they sent me a photocopied book. No, that didn't work too well. So it was very frustrating. And so you sort of sigh and give up and just potter along, you know. I used to be a salesman, so I'd be doing a lot of long journeys across the country. I'd always pick up hitchhikers. You don't see them these days, but it's so easy to get the conversation around to God and Jesus, because in 20 minutes you'd be dropping them off, they'd never see you again, so they didn't mind what they talked about. And there are many good conversations that way. It still didn't satisfy my longing to spread the good news about Jesus, because it is good news, isn't it? Then about 4 years ago, Jill Chadwick at my church in Cirencester said she was going on a mission to Kenya. So we prayed, and then I pushed the doors and asked to go. There was one space left on the team, and they said, yes, come and join us. So off I went to Maasai land, and I told you a little earlier the outcome. So when I got back home, I looked into Through Faith Missions more. They've run, by now, something like 400 missions in the UK. Gosh, that's rather a lot. So I went along to Walk South Devon, was the first mission I went on. And they have a very simple philosophy about training. They say, come to a training school, it's a Friday evening and a Saturday, and then come with us on a mission and we'll show you how. You work alongside someone who's done it before. Oh, is it that easy? Yes, that easy. It really is. So I went along. You soon pick it up, and I haven't looked back. They made it simple, made it easy. Anybody could do it. So I've been on 5 or 6 missions in the UK since then. We got men and women aged from 80 to their mid-90s. One chap asked the founder, Daniel Cousins, I'm 96, is it right if you still come? And Daniel said, you can come as long as you're still alive. You can do it. Some are disabled. We've even got some, 2 or 3 who are blind, but they go on these missions. They all love the Lord, want to be part of his team, part of the adventure. And you can too. Let's find out a bit more about TFM and watch a short film afterwards. Can I have the next slide, please? Through Faith Missions, it's a Christian organization that arranges evangelistic missions at the request of local churches. We work with local churches, not in competition with them. God doesn't mind which box of bricks we worship in, as long as we worship in spirit and in truth. And these evangelists come in and then help people connect to the local churches, whatever flavour they like. We also arrange missions to Maasai land in Kenya and to Uganda. On average, there's one large mission a year involving between 200 and 600 people. And they're all volunteers, people like you and me, from across the land. There are also several small missions of maybe 10 people upwards during the year. Next slide, please. Now, we're experienced in leading over 400 missions. That's a lot. We've gained a lot of experience. We know how to make it tick. We've got over 4,000 people who've been through our training schools. 4,000 people across the Christian churches. That's a nice number. They're still out doing it now. They've been trained, they've been on a mission, but they find they're still doing it back home. We've got more than 5,000 prayer partners who we're in contact with by email, by letter, and they will pray for missions. And then when there's a mission on, everybody who comes will have their own churches praying. So this is when you get tens of thousands of people praying for a mission. Have the next slide, please. So we lead missions of every shape and size, in churches of all denominations, whether it's in towns or rural areas with villages or even across a whole county. There was a mission called Walk Cumbria last year. And there was a mission known as the Walk of 1,000 Men, which is what we may best be known for. And this was the first mission many years ago when they aimed for 1,000 men to come together and do a long walk. I think it was the Pennine Way. We actually got 650 in all, but they visited 600 pubs, 400 churches, spreading the gospel. And they went out in faith with no money, no mobile phones, no credit cards. They just trusted in the gospels. And they were provided for along the way. So that's really walking in faith. We encourage mission in local churches through practical help given by full-time staff, volunteer team members, and there are a number of local evangelist associations set up in different places around the country. I'd like to see one set up in Gloucester. And we train people in evangelism. There's a training weekend for specific missions, which is a short course, but for those who really want to learn more, there's a more detailed course, distance learning, and they call it the Society of Contemporary Evangelists. And it's currently got 80 students, but that is a very, very thorough grounding, and it's what do they call it, moderated by University of Cambridge, so it's quite high level. Go to the next slide, please. That's there. Core values. Faith. Dependence on God is at the heart of TFM. And since it began in 1986, we've trusted God for mission engagements and for finances. Prayer. The support of the prayer partners is vital for God's work. Prayer works. Holiness. All team members sign up to a common spiritual rule of life and holiness. And it's just to keep us right with God if we're going to do these missions. And simplicity. On walk missions, we go without mobile phones. We're now allowed £3 a day, and it's mainly to buy people drinks when we're doing pub work. Until this year, it was £2 a day. There was always money left over at the end of the week because people would buy us drinks as well. So we're following the model of the disciples in Luke chapter 10 when Jesus sent out the 72. Go in faith. Next, please. Leadership team. Daniel Cousins is an artist, an evangelist. He founded Through Faith Missions, and he's been one of the foremost evangelists in Britain for about 25 years. He's led over 300 missions himself. He worked in two curacies. He was Rees Missioner in the Ely Diocese, and then he founded TFM in 1986 with Reverend Peter Adams. Now, his vision was to inspire the church to become more confident in going out where the people are, in the streets, in the houses around us. The TFM approach is nice and simple. That's what I like about it. It's easily duplicated by local churches, so they can continue mission work on their own once they've sent a team on one of these walk missions. He's got a very colourful, down-to-earth preaching style, lovely man. And it was honoured when Archbishop George Carey invited him to become one of the six preachers of Canterbury Cathedral. So, next we have Roger Murphy, who's the associate evangelist. He's been with the team since 2004, trained church army captain, and he's full-time on missions, speaking at evangelistic events throughout the year in UK and Ireland. John Hibbard, Minister of Missions, very tall he is, down here somewhere. Nice chap, lovely guy. And he does an awful lot of the work in making everything tick at TFM. Responsible for training and mission preparation. Jonathan Morton has just joined the team from a church in Crawley, and he's been in 15 years in parish ministry. And David Culhane is a mission preparer. He works part-time on training and mission preparation. So, what have other people said? Lord Carey, former Archbishop of Canterbury, said, "I've long respected the work of Daniel Cousins and was delighted when he accepted my invitation to become one of the six preachers of Canterbury Cathedral. A high honour." Reverend David Emerson, Chair of Cumbria Methodist District, said, "Walk Cumbria has made a lasting impact upon the churches, the communities and the people of Cumbria. The 500 plus team members who came brought a deep commitment and love of Jesus for which we shall ever be grateful. Because of Walk Cumbria, many church members have discovered a deeper commitment and a new courage and confidence to reach out in mission. For this, we're deeply grateful and give thanks to God." The Bishop of Lancaster, Jeff Pearson, said, "We met so many people inside and outside the camp. We saw responses in church, in a Bengali restaurant, in a hotel, and on the doorstep. So much sowing and reaping." David Hall, minister of Wellington Square Baptist Church in Hastings. "During the Walk East Sussex Coast Mission," which is what this shirt is about, we all wear distinctive sweatshirts on the back. Can you see? What's that say? I didn't read it. Yeah. the feet that bring good news. That song we sang at the beginning is sort of our theme tune. Where are we? During that walk, there were stories everywhere of God answering prayer. In Seaford, where I was based at the Baptist church there, the four teams in the town, nearly 100 people to follow up just at the end of the first week. People who made a commitment. That's lovely. And at that church itself, the team visited 600 homes and worked flat out. We had a very full program. David Hall said, we had at least 12 first-time responses or recommitments, but more importantly, we sowed a harvest we'll reap over the next 2 or 3 years. So it works. Okay. What do we do on the mission? First we arrive, we gather for a commissioning service of praise, worship and prayer, during which all the missioners are prayed for by the church ministers, by the congregation. We're launched on prayer. Caring for his people. We might visit a care home or a hospital to just have a sing a few songs with them, pray with them, and to bring the word of God to those who can't easily get to church. And we pray for these individuals if they'd like it. On one visit, this was in a hospital, we were singing a praise song, and one of the elderly ladies, she was 94, I think, she cried her way through all the words of that song. She cried, but she kept singing the words. And it turned out that long ago, she had a little girl who died at the age of 6. So that's probably 70-odd years before. But it was still hurting. The pain was still with her. And one of the lady team members was able to pray with her quietly afterwards and bring God's comfort. Because we'd volunteered to go, God was able to touch someone's heart. And if we don't go, we could be denying someone a blessing. Special events. We go where people are. Now, during these missions, local churches organise special events that their friends or the public are invited to. And we join in so that we can make contact and just seek opportunities to share the gospel. So, bit of faith, bit of fun. It brings it alongside the public. We can join in the fun too. There's a face painting table for kids, and one of the team got made up in a new way. Next one. Go forth and tell. God brings the opportunities. Just because they've seen us around, they might say, what's all this about? We could go and start a conversation. Next one. Daniel Cousins, 3 or 4 times during a week, he'll tell the gospel story through his art. Again, people would be invited. They'd set it up in a church or in a hotel room somewhere. It's essentially an evangelistic event, but it's enjoyable. It's a safe meeting to which church members can bring their guests. So he talks about his life as an artist, his conversion, his paintings, and he gives an evangelistic talk woven through this, and there's an appeal for people to respond and receive Christ. And talking to people, we use a very easy questionnaire approach, and conversations about God just happen. This was down in Bexhill, as Ev Tate in the shirt there. That was Walk Cumbria, that one. Hastings on Bexhill on the right there. Just talking to someone by a shop doorway. Okay. The survey questionnaire that we use has 5 very simple personal belief survey questions. They're quick and easy tick box answers, non-threatening. And it asks, do you believe in some kind of God? You'd introduce by saying, well, I'm Philip and this is Jane, say, we're working in twos. We're here, invited by the local churches. We're doing a survey of people's beliefs. And could you answer 5 questions for us? Usually they say yes. So do you believe in some kind of God? Yes, no, not sure. And they'll give an answer, they'll say, oh, maybe yes. If they answer yes, what do you think God is like? Is it just a force? Or do you feel he's distant? Do you feel he's personal or something else? And you tick a box or write an answer. Question 2, what do you believe happens at the end of our lives? Some people have never been asked these questions before. They never thought about it. And my goodness, you get their attention. Gosh, what does happen? We die and that's it? Or we return to earth in another form or as another person? Careful, you might come back as George Bush. or everybody goes to heaven, or some people go to heaven and others to hell, or I'm not sure, or something else. Do you know, I've even met people who have been going to church for years say we come back to earth in another form. One said we come back 7 times before we go to heaven. And you think, well, what are they preaching from the pulpit? And this isn't any particular denomination. It can be any. I think it's because they don't get back to the basics once or twice a year just to remind people the gospel truths. Question 3, what do you believe about Jesus? He didn't exist. Oh, he's just an ordinary man and nothing else. Or he was a prophet or messenger from God. Or he's the only son of God. Or do you believe something else? And they'll tick one of those. Number 4, if you could ask God a question, what would it be? And you suggest some. Why don't you show yourself so everyone believes? Or why am I here on earth? Or why is there so much suffering in the world? Or why did you make the world in the first place? Or another question. Quite a lot choose the suffering one. Get some thinking, you see. The last question is, if you could know God personally, would you be interested? No, yes, not sure. And some people will say yes. And then you move on. Could you take the next slide? Oh, there we are. One ahead of me. Do you read thoughts back there? Do you read minds? A nod from the back, right. And if they say yes, we've got a little booklet here, and it just takes them through the 4 basic points about that, where it all went wrong with God, and there's a prayer that can put it all right. Confess, trust in Jesus, and so on. And some of them will pray that prayer on the doorstep, and you started a party in heaven. And then you just explain briefly, spiritually, what's happened to them, how it's changing their lives, and you ask them for their details so a local church can follow up. So therefore, go. And we went from house to house preaching the gospel. I did some door-to-door work in Cirencester with Jill Chadwick. We'd go out occasionally in the evenings before it got dark. And we go out and say, right, Lord, which street today? And this occasion he said, that one. So we went down that one. And we're going door to door and get a few conversations. And then we met a man who'd been recently widowed. Very recent, 2 weeks before, I think. And, well, you can imagine the pain. And we were able to pray with him. And he was very grateful for that. Another 3 doors along, a lady who'd lost a daughter, able to pray with them. And I think 2 doors beyond that, someone who'd lost a close friend. Now, if we hadn't gone, you know, it just gave the opportunity to bring God's love. We were obedient, we went, we spoke. And we preached in the marketplaces. There's Reverend David Rhodes from Totley near Sheffield, just preaching to the Maasai with an interpreter, stood next to him. A little village called Majimoto, which means hot springs, in Maasai land. Those are some of the most advanced buildings around. They're actually made from timber and look fairly permanent, but all around they'd just be the mud huts that people lived in. So in Kenya the pattern's fairly similar, house to house, speaking in schools, churches, the marketplaces. So, mission possible. Will you come on a mission? There's full training. You work alongside an experienced person. You learn the trade as you go. And you can see the power of God at work through you and around you. Now, my training day at Newton Abbott in Devon, 3.5 years ago, a lady from the local Baptist church came along to see what was going on. She definitely wasn't going door to door, but she wanted to come to the training sessions and would come along door to door with me just to observe, see what happened. So I did the first 3 houses with the questionnaire, then asked her if she thought she could do it, and she did the next 3. And she definitely wasn't going to do it. And she did. And then I did the next one. So at 7 houses we did, just a short visit out. And one of them was a lady who used to go to a Baptist church before she moved to Newton Abbott, hadn't bothered to connect again. But we talked to her, and she was going to go out to church. So she was connected in with the Baptist church there. Another one was a lady did make a commitment to God, prayed the prayer on the doorstep. The last one we saw was a divorced lady with three small children, but she wanted to know God and she wanted to have her children christened, so we put her in touch with the Anglican minister. Okay, I don't believe in infant baptism, but if that's what it takes to get her into the kingdom, I wasn't going to argue. If that's where she was, Jesus met people where they were, then fine. So that was successful. So rejoice. For every sinner who repents, there is rejoicing in heaven. It's life-changing. It's changed my life. What are you waiting for? Let's start a party in heaven. It develops and strengthens your faith. My goodness, it does. And after the mission, you'll find you're equipped to share your faith anywhere God leads you for the rest of your life. You might just be passing a shop doorway and there's someone sitting there, a little bit drunk, utterly fed up, with a blanket round him, and God says, go and talk to him. And you keep walking. He says, go and talk to him. And you'll go and talk to him. And 20 minutes later, he'll give his life to Christ. It happens. We need to be willing. We need to be willing just to listen up. So he has no voice unless we speak. He has no hands unless we use ours. He has no feet unless we walk where he leads. He has no song unless we sing. So what's next? Talk to your local contact, that's me. Find out about the next walk mission. There's some leaflets on the table at the back. This is about Through Faith Missions. This one is about Walk National Forest. There's a few of these up there as well, little booklets, help yourselves. And please write your name and details on the form back there on the table. There's two of them. So we can keep in touch and keep you up to date with what's going on. We've got the next mission is in September. It's called Walk National Forest, and that's the patch between, well, you've got Derby, you've got Leicester. It's a sort of rural area beneath that. It's got Burton in it. That's where they brew beer, I believe. And that's our main walk mission this year. There are a few other small missions going on, but that's the main one. And we need 200 or 300 people. So senior church leaders in that area have got this vision for reaching out to people. It's 12th to 27th of September. And we need hundreds of people to come along, get involved in various projects. Now, TFM has been invited to partner local churches over coming months to help bring it all together, get it organised. So, leaflets at the back there. Next one is register for training. The training is in May. It's 7 o'clock Friday evening through to 7 o'clock Saturday evening at a weekend. And you register for the training weekend. There is a cost of £25 per person. It costs TFM something like £45, so we're setting it about halfway. In case of hardship, come and talk to me or talk to the church about it. We won't let hardship stop anyone coming on mission. But £25 isn't that much, really. We're talking about saving lives. Do you remember that occasion in the Bible where the demonized man was screaming at him? He couldn't be constrained by chains. And Jesus came to set him free, and the demon shouted, send us into the pigs. And he did. And then the pigs all rushed into the lake and drowned. Now, I can't remember how many there were. Was it a couple of hundred pigs? But you look at the value of the pig. I don't know what the market price is today. Let's say it's £80 or something. But the entire value of that herd of pigs is probably about the same as the local village turnover, the worth of that region. And if it was worth that to save one life, I think it's worth coming on this training session. Okay, accommodation. There'll be people coming to this training session from the sort of left-hand half of the country, sort of southwest, maybe Wales. There'll be several training centres set up around the country. So some will be staying here. The men can sleep on the church floor in sleeping bags. Some may ask, well, if they got back trouble, then we ask church members to put someone up for the night at their homes. Ladies will always get bed and breakfast. What? So tea and coffee available on arrival, breakfast and a light lunch will be provided. And once you've registered, we send you a pre-training workbook to prepare you, program leaflet and so on. And when you come on the course, you get a training manual and a training CD. There's a copy of the training manual back there if anyone would like to look at it. So if you have any questions, please come and talk to me and join us as we walk. Just watch a short film, please.